Welcome to the SpursDynasty.com podcast.
It's the SDP. I'm Steven with Trace. Trace, the Spurs are in the playoffs. It has to be a good day, right?
It's a good day. Don't know how many more good days there will be. Sorry, that was really negative. I'm excited.
But I think that's a fair assessment. The Spurs are the seventh seed. They're going to play the Warriors in the first round, which only seems fitting after the way that last season ended. And with all the chaos of this year, it's going to be an interesting matchup, to say the least. But before we get in and do a full playoff preview of this, how crazy was that finish to the regular season, man? I mean, a playoff game between Minnesota and Denver, not to mention all the other crazy seedings. I mean, regardless of the injury stuff with the San Antonio Spurs and Kawhi Leonard, it's been a pretty fun season, Trace.
Yeah, I think from a, you know, from a pure basketball or casual fan point of view, this was kind of a perfect season. I mean, to have so much coming down to, you know, it was only like two games before the playoffs, two games left in the regular season that the Clippers were eliminated. So, you know, you had for the longest time, you had 10 teams competing for eight spots. And, yeah, you know, on the Eastern Conference, they didn't have, the eight were set a little earlier, but the seeding was still almost totally up in the air until the last few games of the season. And better yet, this is, you know, I think this is maybe the third year in a row now that every team in the playoffs has a winning record. There was this really ugly stretch for a while where, like, the 7 and 8 seeds in the Eastern Conference almost always had a losing or, at best, 500 record. So I think as far, you know, in terms of general quality across the board, I think the NBA is as good as it's ever been in my lifetime.
I would agree with that. It's been a very fun year and some lot of storylines in the NBA, lot of different narratives, but this is kind of what the 82 games all lead up to. It's a moment of truth. It is the playoffs, and let's get right into it. The San Antonio Spurs are going to draw the Golden State Warriors. They kick things off at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. The Warriors won 3 out of 4 in the regular season, Trace. What can we kind of expect out of this? I guess both teams. It's a little unknown for both teams. It's kind of odd. It's not the Spurs and Warriors of old, man. This is kind of a new day for both of these teams with Curry being out too, man.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. And it's also, I wish I would have thought of this before just now, but I don't know how often you've seen the Western Conference Finals rematch in the first round of the next year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's probably a rarity. And it's exactly, I mean, this is definitely not the two teams that met in the finals last year. You know, the Warriors regressed a little bit. They still, you know, you saw many times of a season where they just flip a switch and they're, you know, they go from down 10 to up 20 and you've like blinked. And I don't know. You look at the four games that the San Antonio Spurs played against Golden State this season. Golden State won the first two fairly handily, but in both games, I distinctly remember, at least in the first game they played back in early November, San Antonio, they were still without Kawhi, and they were either up. No, I think they were down like maybe one or two at halftime after leading for most of the first half. And then, you know, Golden State did that thing where they just kind of slowly pull away, and the Spurs just didn't have the firepower to keep up with them. And, I'm looking more at the second two games that they played. Really, actually, the fourth game, sorry, that was kind of nonsense. Nobody played that game for Golden State. But
yeah,
the third game, the game where Steph Curry left after 2 minutes, having, you know, all of one shot attempt to his name with the ankle injury. And the Spurs ended up losing that one by 3. They really, I feel like I've said this a million times this season, they really should have won that game. They had a lead, like, the whole game. And I think that's the most relevant game to this playoff series, because they're going to be going into it without Steph Curry, just as San Antonio is going to be going into it without Kawhi Leonard. And that was a very even matchup. you know, a few shots here, a few shots there, maybe a defensive stop, maybe, you know, they get a little bit lucky on a few plays in the key fourth quarter. And San Antonio would have split this season series. So, you know, I was really down on earlier today. I was like, man, like Golden State was the last team I wanted to draw in the first round. Like I almost would have rather just drawn Houston because I know they're so prone to like defensive lapsing and, you know, the offense just getting tired and not showing up that maybe we could steal that one. But I'm coming around on it now, or I'm coming around on Golden State. And, you know, I don't know if we have the firepower on San Antonio to keep up in a 4-game series. I'm relying basically on the Marcus Aldridge alone. But I think if we get some key bench contributions, you know, Monty's going to have the series of his lifetime. Yeah. Yep. And then I think it's possible. I think if the Spurs are going to win, I think they're going to win in six. I don't think a game seven at Golden State is going to be the way they finish off the series, as much as I would love that. If you know, I don't want to see a game seven, but if we had to find ourselves there, I would love it. But I don't know. So, yeah, I think San Antonio has to play San Antonio defense all six games and eke out four wins with stellar LaMarcus outputs every night. Rudy Gay has got to step up. And, you know, we need, like, every night we're going to need, like, either Manu or Kyle Anderson or Patty or, hell, even, you know, DeJounte Murray to kind of go off and provide a spark. That's how I see them winning the series. Well, how about you? Like, what's the key for you if San Antonio is going to win?
Well, I just think I realize that they are the Golden State Warriors. I know what that means. This is a team they've broken the 70 win, you know, season recently in recent years. They've won championships. They've got four All-Stars. They've got basically two MVP candidates on their roster, although Curry's going to be out. And I think with Curry being out, it kind of sets this up for me, Trace, as what I'm calling like the perfect storm. And I think it's the perfect storm because with Curry out and mixed in with what I viewed as the complacency with this Warriors team, what'd they lose? Like 10 of their last 17 to end the season? They're not playing really good basketball.
They didn't finish strong.
Yeah, they did not finish strong. They're not playing good basketball. There's a little bit of complacency. I still think that you're going to get your typical, you know, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant crybaby stuff that has the potential to maybe derail some stuff. And I think this series is actually going to be interesting. I said on Twitter, the Warriors should win this series, but the Spurs absolutely can win this series. And if they can get a perfect storm of this complacent Warriors team missing Steph Curry, kind of playing at the end of this funk. And the Spurs have played fairly well with the exception of their road games, in their last, you know, 10 to 15 games or so. I think this might have a potential, Trace. If I was going to pick a team at the beginning of the year that I wanted the Spurs to play in the first round of the playoffs, it absolutely would not have been the Warriors. But where we're sitting right now, I know we wanted that Portland and San Antonio matchup. I think the Warriors kind of scare me the least. Utah is dangerous right now. They've been dangerous. You know, the Thunder, who knows what the Thunder really are. I don't even know if the Thunder know, but they're kind of like an unknown, and that makes folks nervous. The Trailblazers have been amazing. Obviously, the Rockets, I hear what you're saying, but they've had a great record all season long. It seems to me that the Warriors are, like, maybe the Spurs, Trace, are just catching them right at the right time. Now, you said it exactly right. The Spurs are going to have to play defense, and we have to see. The other part about this, Trace, is this is the culmination of LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, this is everything that we thought we signed LaMarcus Aldridge for, everything that the Spurs thought LaMarcus Aldridge was needed for, is this moment. There's no Kawhi. We're in the playoffs. You got the defending champs. It's LaMarcus Aldridge time. We're about to find out if he's worth his contract on this. And if the Spurs don't play defense and LaMarcus Aldridge is not LaMarcus Aldridge, if he's a shell of himself or if he's a guy who looked like LaMarcus Aldridge, this series could be over very quick. But I do think the best chance the Spurs have to win this is in six games. They don't want to go play a game seven on the road in Golden State. And it could be a very interesting series.
Yeah, this is, you know, and LaMarcus has a lot of redeeming to do for himself, you know, and a lot of us kind of piled on and said, oh man, LaMarcus really disappeared after Kawhi got injured in the playoffs last year and, you know, only got to play the first half of that first game against Golden State. And in some ways, I think that was very fair criticism, but on the other hand, people, myself probably included, were saying stuff like that while knowing full well that there were four All-Stars on the Golden State's team in the starting lineup. And, you know, we give a lot of credit to DeJounte Murray for having come in, you know, after Tony Parker's leg exploded in the Houston series and kind of having to learn how to be a starting point guard deep in the mm-hmm. playoffs. And I don't think we gave enough benefit of the doubt to LaMarcus Aldridge for having to figure out how to lead a Spurs team that he has never been a leader of, while also yeah. facing the best five-man lineup in like the last 3 years of NBA basketball. So, you know, that's a lot to add in. You know, now that he's had a full season of being the man in San Antonio's offense, I think it's a lot more fair of us to kind of come at him with these criticisms if he totally ghosts. That's a millennial term for disappearing in the playoffs again this season.
I think that's a really good perspective to have about LaMarcus Aldridge in last year's playoff against the Golden State Warriors, because he had really, Trace, I think we would both agree, he got pretty comfortable kind of being the second option of the team behind Kawhi Leonard. And then Kawhi goes out and suddenly LaMarcus is expected to be the number one option after playing a full season, getting comfortable as the number two. And simultaneously, he is now thrust into a leadership role as the number one option with a point guard who has never started before, with a rookie point guard in DeJounte Murray. And it was kind of like the perfect storm on the opposite side, where everything that LaMarcus was comfortable with to get there, it all blew up right in the middle of the moment. And we criticized him over the offseason and we punished him. But now LaMarcus is coming in and, knock on wood, barring another injury, he's going to get to play the Warriors the way that he's been, you know, kind of preparing all season to play the Warriors. And I think that sets up for a very interesting narrative that is not really being discussed. And I think that, I have no reason to doubt him. He's been pretty great this year. I mean, he's not going to make the first team All-NBA, but he should make the second team All-NBA. And they're going to need him a lot in this series. And they're going to need a lot of other help from their role players. They're going to have to make shots. And Trace, I want to know from you, obviously it's a blanket statement, everyone has to play well. But who's the one guy besides LaMarcus Aldridge that just, he's got to perform? Like, he has to show up every game. He's got to produce something. Is there someone that you're kind of keying in on here?
Yeah, I think it's Patty Mills. He, you know,
that was mine.
Man, yep. We said, sorry, I cheated. You and I have talked a few times about how he's really been dragged by a lot of Spurs fans on Twitter this year, Steven. I know on many occasions you yourself have just come out and stepped up and, you know, defended him, which is very honorable.
Defend Patty Mills campaign.
That's right. And you know, people are right to say that we need more out of Patty Mills to win a championship. I think it's wrong of people to say that Patty Mills doesn't deserve his contract. And in this series, I think Patty Mills is going to have to take, and Patty Mills is going to have to make a lot of shots. And it's incumbent upon guys like DeJounte Murray, Kyle Anderson, probably, to make sure that he has open looks to take. But Patty Mills has gotten, he's gotten better at creating his own shot this season, I've noticed, especially over the last few weeks. I feel like he's utilizing screens a lot better than I've seen him do in the past. And he doesn't just, you know, in 2014 when the Spurs won the championship, he just kind of got to hang out and just kind of stand there and wait for someone to pass him the ball. And all he had to do was, you know, make a shot with 10 feet in any direction of him, you know, the closest guy. So Patty Mills is my guy. Since you also chose Patty Mills, I will also, as a backup, I will choose Kyle Anderson. And I don't think it's the that's going to show up. It's not going to show up in a lot of stat sheets or any stat sheets, but it's going to show up in, he just has, I kind of touched on this the other night and in the recap of the Portland game that they played on Saturday, but Kyle Anderson, I feel like every time I watch him, he's always in the right place at the right time. And there's no luck to that. There's probably like 10% luck to that, but the guy is all like, you know, for all the fun we poke at him for not being quick and, you know, just kind of leading the slow break, as we like to call it, he moves exceedingly well without the ball. And he just kind of seems to have this, like notion, that sixth sense, that he knows where the ball is going to be. He knows where other guys are going to go and how to kind of like sneak around them or just position himself to be there so he can grab an offensive board or a key defensive board and get those tip-ins. And great little, you know, like he's sneaky when he steals. Man, I was watching a game against Golden State where he had like three steals on Durant. And you're like, come on, Kyle Anderson can't keep up with Durant, but he does. So he's the other guy I'm looking for.
Yeah, and I like I kind of like what you just kind of segued into, and that was you know, defense that the Spurs are going to have to play. And I think I was going to say Patty Mills, at least from the offensive side. But Kyle Anderson is kind of the guy that we're going to look to, at least defensively, to be largely responsible for handling Kevin Durant. And I think in addition to Kyle Anderson, the other guy that I'm going to look to be a kind of an X factor in the series is Danny Green. I would expect Danny Green to see a lot of Klay Thompson, and I would expect Kyle Anderson to see a lot of Kevin Durant. And there are, I think both of those guys, Green and Anderson, have enough length to at least make it difficult. You're not going to stop Kevin Durant. He is what he is. But the Golden State Warriors are long. They are. There's no real way around that. JaVale McGee is long, but the Spurs have got some length to them. And when they roll out, you know, there's been a few times where we've seen that lineup of Aldridge, Rudy Gay, Kyle Anderson, Danny Green, and DeJounte Murray. And you lose a little bit of shooting with that as far as your outside shooting goes. But I think that Danny Green and Kyle Anderson are going to have to produce offensively, because we're going to be so dependent on them defensively, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting you say that. So I was doing a little research earlier on what the best five-man lineup that the Spurs put out against the Warriors this season. And the only requirement, I did this in like per 100 possessions, and they had to have spent at least 25 possessions together on the court. I thought that was a fair number of possessions to get this rating. So LaMarcus Aldridge and Kyle, I'm looking at the top three, LaMarcus Aldridge and Kyle Anderson and Patty Mills are in all three of these lineups.
That's funny.
So, yeah. So the best lineup we had, which I don't know if it's fair to count because this was in the game where Durant didn't play, Curry didn't play, Thompson didn't play, and Draymond only played for about 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that lineup was a plus 70 points per 100 possessions.
Wow.
take what you will from that, but I'll just read the guide. So that was Aldridge, that was Anderson, Danny Green, Patty Mills, and DeJounte Murray. So a pretty small lineup worked really well in that game. The game, the one that really sticks out to me that I'm, and I think you can, well, I'll just say the lineup. So this was this lineup was plus 6.2, which would equal a win. I think. So that's LaMarcus Aldridge, Kyle Anderson, Davis Bertans, Patty Mills, and DeJounte Murray. And I think what you kind of said a second ago was, you know, we in that lineup, Rudy Gay was not available. So that's probably why Bertans is in there. But I can imagine that lineup with Rudy instead of Bertans being a really solid lineup against Golden State in this series. And, you know, you have Mills in there. You know, you could probably get some good numbers having Green and Mills kind of coming on and off the court together with those other four guys. I think, you know, it's like you said, like in moments where, you know, we really need defensive stop, you're probably going to want Green in there over Mills. But other times, you know, you might want to just turn on the green light and let Mills and Rudy kind of do their thing.
Yeah. And I got to be honest with you. I've been beating this drum all season too, but I'm really excited about what Rudy Gay is going to bring to this playoff roster. He's very unknown. You know, he's got one playoff series under his belt in his entire career. I think the Warriors have probably not gotten a true look at Rudy Gay, just with kind of the time frame of when he played and the overlap of who was healthy and who was injured. And going into this postseason, we really don't know what to expect from him. We don't know. I would hope that Pop is going to shorten that roster a little bit, cut off some of those minutes. I wouldn't expect to see too much of guys like Davis Bertans and, you know, Brandon Paul and some of those other guys that are buried down toward the bench. And so I'm hoping that, you know, Rudy's minutes get bumped up a little bit, because outside of LaMarcus Aldridge, Trace, Rudy Gay is the only person on the Spurs roster that you can just say, here's the ball, go get us a basket right now. Other guys can hit open shots, but Rudy's the only guy that can create something out of that. And I hope that he gets a chance to shine on that. I don't know what Greg Popovich is going to do, but he seems to be a rather important part of this Spurs team. And I don't know if he's been maximized yet. And I think this might be his opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think he's been maximized, and I don't think he's maximized his own opportunities. You know,
right? When, yeah, that's good.
In the Portland game last weekend, I watched him hawk up a lot of threes, and you know, one or two of them went in. And you know, I even wrote about it a little bit. I was like, listen, you know, Rudy still had like 18 or 19 points that game, and you know, his contributions were very obviously felt on both ends of the floor, but. What I was thinking was, like, you know, if this guy can just, if he can just find his shot like 20 to 25% more of the time, like, he's going to be scoring 20 plus, and that's going to be awesome for a guy coming off the bench. And we know that he can, nice. You know, we've all seen Rudy Gay play for several years on other teams, maybe not with the microscope we put on him this year, but I feel like he's the kind of guy who pissed me off a lot, because I would be, oh man, there goes Rudy Gay making shots again, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think Pop has to, you know, hopefully Rudy Gay will have put himself in a position by the time the series starts where Pop thinks he can play him for maybe 25 minutes a game. You know, we might need more out of him than that, but I think that's the baseline for what you need. Even coming off the bench, I think he's going to need at least 25 minutes to be effective.
Yeah, I'd like to see him around the 28, 29 mark, you know, getting closer to the 30 side. But all right, so tell me, how does this series end?
Well, I'm going to predict that the Warriors are going to win in six.
Yeah.
4-2.
I have the Warriors winning in five. I think the Spurs get one game, and I think it's game four. I want to, you know, what's the saying? Like, my heart says the Spurs are going to win in six, but the reality is like, they're not, man. they'll probably get one game. I think it's going to go five, and I think it's going to be quick, and it's okay. Like, well, everybody has to remember, what Spurs fans have to remember is, like, the Spurs are not as good as the Warriors. Like, they're not. They don't have as much talent. They have had a rough year emotionally and chemistry-wise, and I do think the guys that are playing like each other, but they're just not as good as the Warriors, man, and that's okay.
Yeah. And here's why I think it's gonna go down the way it's gonna go down. In the games I watched San Antonio play the Warriors this year, the Spurs went through stretches where they just looked so bewildered and confused, and they were passing the ball not for the sake of getting an open shot, but because they looked like they were terrified of the fact that they had the ball in their hands and they were looking at, you know, somebody like Kevin Durant, and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm going to just toss it over to this guy.
You should.
And it just bred confusion. And then on the other end of the court, the Warriors were moving the ball like they were, you know, the 2014 Spurs. Like, they were just like, this guy. Oh, there's a wide open three. There's another layup. You know, they went through stretches where they got anything they wanted, and San Antonio looked like all they wanted to do was curl up into a ball and, you know, wave a white flag. So I don't see the current construction of the Spurs getting enough minutes where they're not, you know, where they're in total control of everything they're doing. I just see that team is so good at defense. And they will absolutely punish you if you're not perfect on defense. And I just don't think the Spurs offense is good enough to match them in that regard.
I would agree. Well, before we wrap up, let's go through the full playoff bracket real fast. And let's see if we can look into our crystal ball here, Trace, and make some predictions.
Yeah.
So let's start the Eastern Conference. We'll just do this real simple. You give me the winner in how many games, okay?
All righty.
All right. Raptors and Wizards, the 1-8 matchup.
Raptors in five.
Nah, it's a sweep. Raptors in four.
Wow. All right.
Cavs and Pacers, the 4-5 matchup.
Pacers.
Are you going to pick
six
against LeBron? Pacers in six.
Pacers in six.
I like it. I'm not picking against LeBron. I'm gonna go Cavs in six.
That's a safe pick. I want to see it. I want Lance Stevenson, LeBron. It's the magic
Victor forgot all
Oladipo.
About that. That's right.
Yeah,
Lance Stevenson. He's gonna blow in his ear again.
Yes, I'm here for it.
Hey, one of my most exciting matchups, I think, if not the most exciting matchup, the Sixers and the Heat. Trace, I am all here for Joel Embiid and Hassan Whiteside. I'm all for that.
Yeah, and Embiid in the black mask. Have you seen it? They call
I'm ready.
The Phantom of the Process. It's pretty amazing.
My body is ready.
I'm doing Sixers and five.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sixers and five, too. I think the Sixers get their first playoff series in whatever it was, a century. It seems like it's been a long time. All right, last one.
I think it was 1776.
1776. Sorry. Celtics and Bucks.
I'm going to go.
Celtics are wounded, man.
Bucks and seven.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bucks and six. I think the Bucks upset right there. The Celtics are just being held together by duct tape. Yeah. All right, let's move over to the West. Rockets and Wolves. You going to give the Wolves a game here?
No. Rocket sweep.
Yeah, Rocket sweep.
Sorry, Cat.
Yeah, sorry, Cat. You're still better than Rudy Gobert, Jazz Twitter. All right. speaking of Jazz Twitter, who do you got in the Thunder-Jazz matchup?
Jazz and six.
I'm going Thunder and six. I can't see Russell Westbrook. He's not going to lose. He's not going to lose in the first round. He's too angry at the world.
Carmelo Anthony is not going to win in the first round. That's what I'm basing my pick off of.
Oh, see, I forgot about Melo. Yeah, you're right. Melo's going to find a way to shoot themselves out of a game like 7 or something. I'm going to stand by Thunder in 6, but you're going to take Jazz in 6?
I'm going to take Jazz in 6, yep.
All right, cool. This will be a good matchup. This is kind of my other one, is Blazers-Pelicans. Because the Blazers are a better team, but they don't have anybody remotely close to guarding Anthony Davis. They don't have a soul on that roster who can hold him below 30.
No, bless you, Yusuf Nurkic. But I don't know. You're gonna end up on a poster more often than not in this series.
That's gonna be bad.
That said, I'm going Blazers in 6. I'm going Blazers in 6, and I will watch every second of the series that I am able to.
Yeah, I'm going to have Blazers in 5 right there, and it's going to be a rout.
All right. Well.
All right. So who wins the whole thing, man?
I think the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to win the whole thing. I think they'll get past San Antonio. Steph will come back healthy, and it won't be. It'll be too much for any of these other teams to overcome. I will tell you, my dream matchup for this finals is Blazers Raptors. That's my dream matchup. Assuming the Spurs lose in the first round, if the Spurs get out, obviously I want the Spurs to be in the finals. But I'm rooting myself in reality, and I think Blazers Raptors is my dream final.
Wow, that's a stretch. My dream finals would easily be the Blazers and the Sixers. I just think it'd be cool to see the Sixers there, but they won't.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna pick against the Warriors either. I think the Warriors win it again this year. But here's what I want to say. I don't care who wins it as long as it's not the Houston Rockets. And I will be okay with LeBron winning another title, but at all costs, someone beat the Rockets. Please. I don't care who it is. I can't have Houston hanging any championship banners in their arena. That's not acceptable.
Nope. Never. Never again.
All right, guys, you heard it here. Anybody but the Rockets. And Trace has the Pacers upsetting LeBron James in the first round. So that's it for your bold predictions here. Trace,
right.
It's always a great thing to talk Spurs basketball with you, man. The pleasure's all on this side of the table.
You're too kind. Thanks for having me.
And thank you guys for listening out there. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for all of your Spurs analysis and recaps. And subscribe to the SDP, rate us on iTunes, and don't forget, go Spurs, go.